I'm Paul Landcor with PodTech.net, and in this series of podcasts, CIO Dilemmas, Frank Boutendijk, Vice President for Corporate Strategy at Hyperion, says if CIOs are to find real answers for their organization, they need to examine the underlying problems more closely. Frank has distilled this down to four common dilemmas, each one to be examined in a separate podcast. In this podcast, we examine the dilemma of bridging IT governance and business governance. To start off, I asked Frank if it's fair to say that this boils down to the CIO versus the CFO.
That's absolutely correct, because the CIO and the CFO tend to have different requirements. The CIO is aiming for IT governance, indeed, which means a high level of standardization, which we discussed already in a previous podcast, going for a high level of manageability, trying to preserve a certain situation, trying to create stability, where if you look at business governance, what the CFO and other business executives are faced with, it's about flexibility. Governance there is meeting the continuously changing requirements of the market. Now, it's a dilemma because of software. Actually, software in today's world makes people choose. So sometimes the CIO wins, and that means that this huge ERP, CRM, SEM, add your own acronym here, system is wheeled in, and 3 years later, and more millions of dollars than you care to think about are being pumped in, is then the standard for the complete organization, taking care of perfect IT governance. Unfortunately, user friendliness consists of thank you when you hand in your change request and it is being put at the bottom of the stack, and flexibility means that you can choose in which stack you want to be at the bottom of. And sometimes the CFO wins, and that means that a small niche application that is being wheeled in that fits on the PCs or the local server of the finance organization, and then finance creates a solution for themselves that helps finance, but is completely out of sight of what the rest of the organization does, and also it's out of sight of the IT department. And that's a bad thing as well in these days of compliance, where you simply need to have a certain amount of trustworthiness and confidence in the numbers, making sure that everything adds up. So indeed, this is about a conflict between the CIO and the CFO that is actually triggered by technology.
And is it fair to say also that given that the technology, the software is made by software engineers, it's generally more IT governance friendly than business governance friendly?
I wouldn't really say so, actually. The market traditionally has been divided in two. There are the big systems from the big vendors, and these tend to be very, very IT focused. Needing lots of people, needing lots of consultants, creating very centralized and controlled environments. And there have been, over the past and also today, lots of specialized, in other words, best-of-breed vendors that have focused on one particular task and one task only and service a very particular need with this. So your first conclusion was, is this dilemma about the CIO versus the CFO, definitely true. Another way of describing the dilemma would be, in terms of technology, the one-stop shop versus the best of breed.
Okay, so we have enlightened CIOs and CFOs at their organizations. They read your blog at Hyperion.com, and they understand you're thinking about dilemmas and how to look at dilemmas, and they want to find an answer. How do they find an answer to this problem of governance?
Well, this is one of those rare cases where technology actually solves a problem. Usually with technology advancements, many that we have seen, they basically shift the problem from left to right. But I truly believe that the emergence of the service-oriented business applications means that this is the synthesis that we discussed in our first podcast about how do dilemmas work. So BaaS, service-oriented business applications, provide that synthesis. In the end, what it does is it bridges the dilemma between the one-stop shop and the best of breed. It is a framework. Another term for a SOBA would be composite application framework. And in this framework, there's everything that the CIO needs in order to have a centralized, controlled environment providing IT governance. So from a compliance point of view and from a CIO objectives point of view, that is a good solution. Yet, composing the applications, creating the applications, the screens, the workflows, the interactions, doesn't have to be driven by IT within that framework. That is why you have the components. And the components are being glued together and taken apart and re-glued together by the power users within the organization. And they take care of the business governance. In the end, you could say that the composite application framework or the service-oriented business application is almost the one-stop shop for best of breed. And that is what in jargon is called the ecosystem. An ecosystem is an environment in which these components live that serves a particular greater need. In that sense, Hyperion System 9 is the service-oriented business application environment ecosystem for what we like to call the management system.
And in this sort of an environment, I understand that best practices actually emerge in a viral sense from the way that users employ SOBAs in an organization. Is that true?
Yes. Well, first of all, you have to look at it like this. A service-oriented business application is the next step after the service-oriented architecture, SOA, I think that's a term that we've all been exposed to. Service-oriented architectures don't really do a lot other than enable creating what we discussed as being the service-oriented business applications. But if you have implemented that, it starts to have a spin-off to even higher levels in our stack of what we're trying to achieve. Because if we have an infrastructure or an architecture, we have the applications on top of it, it's going to impact the way how we organize. What we see in most organizations that are very successful with business intelligence and business performance management is that they have some kind of a BI, BPM competency center. And if you think in terms of a competency center, which is neither a project nor a line organization with a department, it is a small group of resources being there on a continuous basis for the rest of the organization, that is, in a sense, the organizational form of a service-oriented architecture. You could call it the service-oriented organization. Now, organizations that have learned to think that way perhaps are also to create the service-oriented business model. And that is what is in the manufacturing industry is also referred to as mass customization. So the components of a product are the same, but it is possible to make endless combinations in particular outcomes of the product. Think of the car that you drive. How many different configurations of the car are there? Think in financial services of the number of types of mortgages that you can choose. Mortgages these days consist of a number of components that you can glue together to a very unique mortgage that is perfectly aimed at servicing your particular needs. Does that mean that it is incredibly unmanageable for the particular bank? No, because every particular mortgage consists of those standard components. You see, these thoughts are all variations on the same theme. There's a framework in which you can glue components together on the architecture level, on the applications level, on the organizational level, and on the business model level. And that is, for me, true service orientation, solving the CIO-CFO dilemma.
Great. Thank you very much for taking the time to talk about bridging IT governance and business governance, and we look forward to our future podcast with you, Frank. Get in on the conversation. Check out Frank's blog at blogs.hyperion.com/frankb. You can also see more at smartbi.hyperion.com. In our next podcast, the next dilemma in the series, bridging IT stability and business agility. Subscribe now, and thanks for listening.